This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block. And this week, we're taking stock of what progress has been made 1 year after Hurricane Katrina. Today, we're going up over the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We're taking off in a four-seat Cessna 182.
November 26 Tango, contact departure.
Hey, go on departure, 26 Tango.
We're with pilot Pat McCowan out of Gulfport, Mississippi.
We're going to cruise. Our altitude is going to be about 800 feet, so you can get a good view of the coastline.
The skies are clear. The sun is bright. The view from above, for miles and miles along the coast, reveals the stunning power of Katrina's storm surge, as much as 30 feet high as it churned ashore. Bare foundations everywhere you look.
You can see most of the landscape here is just nothing but concrete slab.
And all this would have been houses.
Yeah, all these would have been houses or hotels along the coastline. And we're coming up on the Long Beach Harbor now.
You know, except for the trees, it looks like somebody just scrubbed this clean.
Yeah.
Now, here's the view from the ground. I'm standing on the beach in Waveland, Mississippi. I was in this exact spot a year ago this time, just a few days after Katrina hit, when there was nothing and no one around, just piles of debris everywhere you looked. That debris is pretty much gone now. You see travel trailers that people have set up in the spots where their homes used to be, next to these bare slabs of foundation, and a few more signs of life. The trees, the live oaks that were blackened and leafless a year ago are greening up again. And here's another sign of life, a volleyball net right here on the beach that someone has strung up.
So you're going to take a left here, and after you cross the tracks, you'll take another left.
Jim Schmidt is driving us through Pass Christiane, east of Waveland, and across St. Louis Bay. It's one of the towns hit hardest by Katrina.
The highway's closed, so we'll backtrack a little bit to get around an overpass that was washed out.
Jim Schmidt is a contractor. He's taking us to one of a dozen homes he's working on rebuilding right now.
People even this close after the storm here are very nearsighted, you know. We continue to keep our head buried in the sand. You know, I'm personally amazed that people are going right back exactly where they were with the exact same type of construction they had before. And people just seem to think, well, it's only going to happen once. You know, lightning's only going to strike here once.
And what do you tell them?
It's not a matter of if, but when.
This 8-bedroom home is being stripped down to the studs. Pallets of sheetrock have been stacked here since last November. Jim Schmidt shrugs. Rebuilding has been slow going as people try to secure funding, battle with bureaucracy, or wait to see what new elevation rules are adopted. And finding skilled labor has been a big problem.
We lost most of our crews after the hurricane. 75-80% of our carpentry crews didn't return to work. Most every one of them were collecting unemployment and working elsewhere. So, and then even now, the crews that we have here, you know, there are other crews coming in from elsewhere. I had a crew down here from Ohio for about 3 months earlier this year. And half of my crew right now is out of Jackson, Mississippi, but we're having to provide housing for them also. We're right now paying about 50% more than we were before the storm and getting 50% less skills for that extra money and providing housing for them.
We're thinking just sort of about the community and the community of Pass Christiane, which seems like it was a tight community before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry that that's
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I think, you know, our biggest concern is not another storm, but that we lose the community of the town. And you know, where that comes from is two parts: is either people not returning because they, for one reason or other, they can't, and the other is just unbridled development coming in here. People coming in and just turning into another high-rise condo beach place with again no community. I guess our feelings here are those places where that started, it's very difficult to stop. It's kind of like wildfire. You light the match at one end of the beach and it's going to go to the other end.
What sells is water, and that's what we got out here, but they want to build up to look at it.
We bump into the new mayor of Pass Christiane, Leo McDermott, who goes by Chipper. City Hall was obliterated by Katrina. He's working out of a mobile home, and here's his dilemma. Pass Christiane is a small, sleepy town, 7,000 people before the storm, and it's a historic town with gorgeous antebellum mansions, many of them now destroyed. But the mayor desperately needs a revenue base, since sales tax and property taxes have pretty much been wiped out. Condo developments are a tempting prospect, a sweet cash infusion.
In certain areas, I'm 100% for it, because you've got to get some money back in this town. There are certain areas down there where I live, on that eastern end down there where commercial is owned. They want to go in there, I'm all for it.
What's your biggest fear now that you're mayor for this town, this community?
The biggest fear is that, you know, that you may not get out of this. But, you know, I feel we will. We have the right kind of people, and people are resilient down here. But, you know, I mean, you just got a monumental task here. Monumental. I mean, 6 hours took 300 years of history right here, and 300-year oak trees, and put them in the Gulf of Mexico. So it was devastating. Man, nobody ever dreamed something like this would happen.
Really? As long as you've lived here, you never
I lived in Camille. I'm telling you, Camille... I was more scared than Camille was in this one, because Camille was at night. But this is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hurricane Camille in 1969, that was supposed to have been the big one. A Category 5 storm spinning smack onto the Mississippi coast.
And this is our second hurricane. We got married
two months before Hurricane Camille.
It took everything then.
Anthony and Antoinette Alexander live in Pass Christiane, married 37 years now, nearly four decades of memories.
They say too many years of too much hard work.
Yeah, we shucked oysters.
I was the best around at one time. I could average a gallon of oysters in 11 minutes. And that's how we managed to get our home, got our home completed. Took us 28 years, really, to get the house decent and a good day to lose it.
Washed away in the middle of the street.
It's been some rough days. It has been some rough days. But as time go on, you know, we started with nothing before.
The Alexanders are living in a FEMA trailer. They hope to get an SBA home disaster loan to help rebuild, and they've come by a local volunteer center in Pass Christiane for some help. The center is housed in a small plywood structure called, humbly, the Gray Hut. Mariah Furs has a database of people who need help with their homes, so if volunteers come, she'll match them up.
Out of the list, we have 357 and climbing whole house rebuilds. Those are people that lost everything and have come, made their way here to sign up. I'm on this list.
For your own house?
For my own house, yeah.
But the initial stream of volunteers has tapered to a trickle. With most of the cleanup done, now Mariah Furs could use skilled labor.
Plumbers, electricians, carpentry, air conditioning, and roofers. Those are the main components. If you think about a house, that's it.
Is part of the fear here that, you know, it's a year after the storm, attentions wane, maybe more of the focus is on New Orleans, you just won't get the help that you need because people figure, well, it's a year now, they're back on their feet.
Well, I think that all of that is part of the fear. New Orleans getting the attention is very difficult to take. If they could just shove some off a little bit this way, that'd be great. I know, for me personally, you wake up and you're not any farther along. That's very hard to take because it's been a year. And people out there don't understand that it has taken us this long to crawl out from under the debris.
The debris is mostly gone now on land, but out in the water, it's a different story.
Okay, y'all sit down. We're going to go fast.
We're zipping out on the Mississippi Sound in a 24-foot skiff. Chuck Pinson is taking us out. He's project manager for the contractors Matthews Marine Gulf Equipment. They got a $6.7 million contract with the Coast Guard to pull hurricane debris out of the water.
A lot of nasties out here in the water still.
Chuck Pinson has hired fishermen from Mississippi and Alabama to do the work.
They compete against each other all the time out here, oystering, shrimping, fishing. And some of them, it doesn't matter what the prey is, or whether it's trash or not, whether it's edible or not, they get real competitive.
Right now, a dozen small boats are out with grappling hooks on winches to pull in debris from the shallow waters a half a mile from shore. Later, once they have a permit, they'll go out farther with a net to drag the bottom.
Everything's been heavy duty this morning for me and Four Wade. Big logs.
We catch up with Rufus Young on his boat. It's filled with huge tree limbs he's lifted out of the water. He drops them close to shore, where they'll be hauled away to landfills. Rufus Young is from Pascagoula, lost his house in the hurricane. He's a fisherman, but this is good money, $75 an hour per boat. He says he's lucky to have the work.
It's hard work, but can't complain. It's keeping us busy.
Tell me what other stuff you found besides these trees.
Well, yesterday we got into an old beat-up fiberglass boat. And we've been working on another boat we found down there this morning. We've got the tanks and some things off of it. Them carpets and rugs, and that stuff's heavy. We caught air conditions. We caught all kinds of junk, ain't we? Yeah, plenty of them Mardi Gras, but they still had the price tags on them.
Mardi Gras beads.
Yeah, but the tag was still hanging on. You could see it.
Well, do you figure Mississippi will be back, much like it was, or different?
Probably better than it was.
Better?
Yeah. You know everybody's going to build back better. I'm going to put 4x4s in my walls when I go back, instead of 2x4s. And go up probably 12 feet.
So you'll be higher?
Oh, yeah. Higher and stronger. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
People here find hope where they can. They find it in the oysters they see growing on the logs these men are pulling out of the water, a good sign for restoring the oyster beds that were ravaged by the storm. They find hope, too, in the sunflowers that have sprouted all over, surprises from all the bird seed that was tossed about by Katrina. Last week, the local paper showed a photo of a young girl holding a watermelon that grew like magic in her yard, a volunteer vine that started out who knows where, another gift from Katrina. But the hard, practical questions, what kinds of towns these will become, how to rebuild in a safe way, how to bring the economy back, those are all a long way from being answered along the Mississippi coast.
You can see photos of Mississippi towns hit by Katrina and read about how personal, private, and public money is being spent to rebuild the region at our website, NPR.org.